Today is Mission Celebration Sunday, and so today I would like to share with you a missions information and then some mission celebration and then offer to you a missions invitation. I invite you to please open your Bible to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. The title of our message today is Breaking the Huddle. If you played any football, you recognize and know what a huddle is. Even if you didn't play, you know what a huddle is. I can remember back in my playing days, I was the quarterback. We'd gather for the huddle, and I would call the play. I would call the play two times so everybody would understand what the play was, and then I would say, ready, and everybody would be quiet because they understood, and then I would say, break, and off we would go to the line of scrimmage to execute the play. And so wouldn't it be kind of crazy if all the team did was stay in the huddle? And so today we want to break the huddle. We want to understand the play, and we want to execute the play. And when all 11 on the ball team execute their particular responsibility, any given play could really be a great one. But if you just have one breakdown among those 11, then that play could become catastrophic. So today we want to understand the play call. And then today we want to begin the process of executing that play. Now, the one calling the plays for us is Jesus Christ. And he does so in two places. First, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so as we go, as we live, then the assignment is to make disciples. A disciple is somebody who adheres to and follows the teaching of another. So we are to be making people who will learn the teachings of Jesus Christ and apply them to their lives. And we're all in the process of becoming a disciple if you know Jesus Christ. There's a process involved in doing that. You first of all have to find folks who don't know Christ, and you present the gospel to them in such a way that they can understand it and make a commitment to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that point, you then nurture them into baptism, which is church membership. And then they begin the learning process, being taught Scripture, bringing more of their life in line with Jesus' teaching until they get to the point where they can actually lead someone else to Christ and enter into the process. So as we're doing this, this message is to go to all the nations, and there's a great promise that he puts. He says, as you're doing this, remember that I am always with you. Now that's a view from 20,000 feet. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he kind of gives us the ground game. He says in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Notice there is there again a promise of power. In Matthew he said, "I am with you," and here in Acts he says, "When the Holy Spirit comes on you," and the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And so when we think about breaking the huddle, when we do step out into ministry and into missions, then we've got to always remember this, that Jesus Christ is with us in power and in his presence. Now, in that Acts passage, he kind of gives the strategy. He says, "I want you to start in Jerusalem, and then I want you to spread it out to Judea, which is a surrounding country, and then I want you to take to Samaria, which is another boundary, ultimately to go all over the whole earth." And they understood what that assignment was. That assignment overcomes geographical boundaries, and that assignment overcame racial boundaries. I would remind you that the Samaritans were half Jews, half Gentile, and they had incredible racial strife between Jews and Samaritans. And the gospel was to overcome that. And then you had the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, and the Jews looked upon them as unclean and wouldn't even eat a meal with Gentiles, and the gospel overcomes that barrier. And so what that means is that Jesus Christ is for everybody. Doesn't matter what country you live in, what country you're from. It doesn't matter what your background is. It does not matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the accent that you use. It doesn't make any difference. Jesus Christ is for absolutely everybody in this whole wide world. And because of that, our mandate, our play, our assignment is to take the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Now, it doesn't do any good if the gospel is for the whole world, but there's people who don't get a chance to hear it. And so the obligation, the assignment that we have is to make certain that everybody at least has a chance. Now, these early disciples in this book of Acts, they understood the assignment, but they had a problem. They weren't willing to leave Jerusalem. They were staying in the huddle. The play got called, and the time came to execute the play, but they stayed in the huddle. So the Lord had to step in and do something to get them out of the huddle. Back many years ago, my kids were small. We had rented a little cabin, and we're going out to spend a few days. We was putting stuff in the cabin, and I noticed up by one of the windows in the corner, there was a little round, about a 2-inch diameter, circular brown dot up in the corner. And I saw that, and I thought, that's strange, and I wondered what it was. We got everything in, and I went back and looked at it a bit closer, and I didn't know what that was. So I decided I'd poke it. And so when I poked it, daddy long leg spiders just started going everywhere. It was a ball of huddled up spiders. Everybody freaked out. We caught a couple of them and chased Julie around for several minutes. Had a great time with that, my daughter. And so they were in their huddle until somebody poked them. And so that's what these early disciples were. They were in a huddle until the Lord had to poke them. Now, he poked them in a very hard way. In Acts chapter 7, there was a layman, early deacon named Stephen, and God was using him in a very powerful way. So he got in a debate with the Jewish leaders, and they could not beat him in a debate. And at the end of a speech that he gave, it made them so upset that they actually executed him and killed him. And so we get then to this next verse, which is Acts 8:1, and it says, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria," which is where God had told them to go. But then notice it says, "except the apostles." The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And so the first step was Stephen, who was a layman. And now they're scattered. And verse 4 says, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." And it wasn't the apostles, remember? This wasn't the preachers. This was the people who were a part of the church who God put his hand into their huddle. They all spread out, and as they were going, they were fulfilling the assignment. But the issue is, before they began to fulfill the assignment, God had to force their hand. And I will just tell you, oftentimes as a church, we get really comfortable in our huddle. We get really comfortable in our Bible study group. We get really comfortable in our entire church family. And we don't think about the assignment. And as such, God has got to sometimes stir into our life to make us get out of the huddle. And so that's one thing that I'm always going to do. I'm not going to let us get too comfortable. I'm going to continue to force us out of the huddle. Now, that is a missions explanation. That is the biblical basis for doing the missions. The why we do it is because Jesus Christ has given us directions, and he has said, this is what you are to be about. Now, I'd like for us to step to the second part of this into a missions celebration. I want to spend the next few moments talking to you and sharing with you how our church is carrying out the play that has been assigned to us by Jesus Christ. And so we followed that same outline, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. So we're going to start. I will tell you that Kirk Lukey is leading our mission effort. And he's going to be walking us through the video of how we're working and how we're serving. And so we're going to start with our Jerusalem, our area. So watch this video.
This is our Jerusalem, Forney, Texas. There's a projected growth of 21,390 new homes. Our community is continually changing, so we must be faithful to what God has called us to do. One of the ways that we have been faithful was changing VBS to VBX. Now, VBX is an outreach where we went to 6 Forney elementary campuses to minister to the surrounding communities. We saw 811 in attendance during the 2-week time. 44 kids and 3 parents made decisions. Man, that's awesome. This is one way that we have reached our community.
Now, VBX is just one of the many ways that we're striving to reach the area of Forney, and I would like to just comment on some of those and let you know how we are fulfilling this assignment here in our area. Now, I will tell you that years ago when we relocated out here, it raised the bar to everything that we did. And that has resulted in an incredible harvest. And as we're standing at the precipice of moving over into this new building, that's going to raise the level even higher. And it's going to be an absolute astounding opportunity for us to reach the multitudes of people that are coming to Forney right now that are already here. We've told our staff, everybody's got to up your game. Everybody's got to take it up a level higher. Every aspect of what we're doing, including the preacher. But I said, how can you get any better than what I do already? Just kidding. So we're taking everything a little bit higher. We are seeing an explosion in our population. Is there anybody who would dispute that claim? Any direction that you were to go right now from where we're located, you will see housing additions. Some are just getting started. Some are filling up. And so God is bringing the world to Forney. And I want to tell you, we are seeing people of all nationalities moving into Forney. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in His sight, and we want to be welcome to every single one of them. And I'll tell you something that I'm seeing, and it's exciting to me. There is a movement in the Forney of people who have come to America from countries in Africa. And they're different countries. In fact, several of those folks have joined. One family in particular, the wife had been in jail in her home country for being a Christian. And they were coming to arrest the husband. And, man, you talk about committed people. That's incredible. And so I visited many of their homes. And, man, I want to tell you, that is awesome to me. So we probably have some with us right now. You are welcome. You are wanted. And that is awesome. And so we want to be a church for everybody. Every person is welcome and has a place. And God bless you as God brings people into Forney. So Jesus is for everybody, and so is our church. We send out the connection every so often. That is the magazine you get that goes to every address in our entire zip code. It costs us a lot of money, but it's really great because it puts us in everybody's home. We have intentional witness every Tuesday night. We have Grow. The staff goes out every Tuesday to visit and to knock on doors. And every other Tuesday night, we're having Bible study groups, sending people to come in and to go out with us. We are one of the last churches in America that are still going out and knocking on doors. Before you joined our church, did anybody knock on your door from our church? Anybody here before you joined? Did anybody do that? No? Yes, yes, yes. I see that hand. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, look at this. And so we're intentionally going out intentionally visiting with people. And you get all kinds of stuff when you do that. You got the little doorbells that they look at you. They could talk to you if they wanted to, but they don't do that. But they'll look at you. And then sometimes you'll see a shadow running away from the door inside the house. Sometimes you get a barely peeked door to tell you hello. Sometimes the door opens, you go in and have an incredible... Sometimes you go in and are able to lead in our family to faith in Christ. And so we're intentionally knocking on doors to share the gospel. We have different kinds of ministries to everybody. Preschool, children, students, young adults, middle adults, senior adults, from the womb to the tomb. We want to be able to share the gospel with everybody that lives in the entire Forney area. We saw the thing about VBX, Vacation Bible Express, I think was what we called it. Vacation Bible School on steroids. Out of the building, into the schools. We'll probably never have Vacation Bible School in these buildings again because that introduced us to a whole set of people in our community. Let me tell you about some discipleship stuff that's coming up. And what drives this is the statistics tell us that the number one cause of stress in family and divorce is financial stress in the home. And so we're going to intentionally put together a discipleship piece called A Financial Peace that's going to come up in January. I'm going to be teaching that. It's going to be on Sunday evenings. It's going to cost $50 per couple. The church is subsidizing that to bring it to $50 and some of the finest financial stuff. A lot of people will say, look, we'd love to be able to do more. We'd love to be able to give more, but we are so far behind the eight ball in our finances, we just can't do that. This will give you incredible instruction on how not to be a slave to your money, but make your money be a slave to you. And so if you're going to need that, you can hook up with that, register at our website, and get that underway. That's coming up in January, and so it's a way the church is going to step up and help you. We have asked each Bible study group to adopt a ministry outside of their group. And I don't know if your group has done that. I hope that it has. If it hasn't, the next time you meet, you ask, what is the thing that we have adopted? Because we want to get out of the huddle. We want to get out of the huddle. We want everybody to have an outlet whereby you can minister and that you can share the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we want to consistently want to be open to starting new groups, new Bible study groups. And the groups we have, we want to be open when new people come. All of our groups are real friendly. You're real friendly to one another, but how friendly are you to new people? And so we want to be friendly to new people. Now, one of the things, it kind of was unintended, but it's a really good thing. When we go into the new building, you realize we're going to two worship services. The 9:30 worship is going to be traditional. The 11 o'clock is going to be the band led, like this one, like Encounter 9:30 and 11 now. And by doing that, it has caused a lot of our groups, it's kind of poked the daddy long leg deal. And they're having to spread out and new groups are going to form. And new groups are good. Say that to somebody sitting next to you. Say, new groups are good. You just told a story in church, didn't you? Because you like your old group. You like that daddy long leg that's next to you. And so it turned out really good because the more groups you get, the wider is your impact in the community. And so it's really good. Continuing our worship, biblical preaching and teaching. And then let me just say this to you. The higher ground, the building, that building is not for the huddle. That building is executing the play. That building is not for us. That building is for a whole group of people that we have yet to reach for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so please recognize that as a huge piece. It's not an end in itself. It is an end to a means. And the means is reaching more people in our area for Jesus Christ. And that's the sole purpose for it. And so we want to break the huddle, execute the play, and the first step of that is to take the gospel to our Jerusalem, which is this general area of Forney. The next area is Judea. And so we got some stuff to our Judea. Now, as you listen to this, again, Kurt's going to walk us through. We're going to have to work on Kurt because he can't pronounce Houston. He calls it Newston. How hard can it be? Houston, Kirk. Houston. Listen for him. Houston.
This is our Judea, Texas. Our reach city is Houston. Houston is one of the most diverse cities in North America, with a population of 5 million and growing. ...68% are lost and unchurched. That breaks down to 3 out of 5 people needing to be reached. This is one way we are reaching our Judea.
For the past several years, we have been going to Pearland, and we helped a church plant get on its feet. That is now a thriving church, and they are actually starting more churches in the area. So we're done with that. We've done our work there. And so targeting Houston, and we'll be making trips there in various different kinds of ministries. And I don't know if you saw that, but 3.4 million lost people in the city of Houston. Can you imagine that? And so we're going to be adopting Houston, and that will be our main ministry emphasis for our Judea. We then step to the next stage, which is our Samaria.
This is our Samaria, the United States of America. One of the two places we are reaching is Seattle, Washington. Seattle is one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. 23% claim to be Christians, or 3 out of 10 go to church. Last year, our college students partnered with a church plant in downtown Seattle. This March, we are returning to build upon those relationships. The other city we are partnering with is Phoenix, Arizona. Our youth will be partnering with Momentum Church this June. 5,677,000 people live in the surrounding area. 13% have been reached by the gospel. And out of 96 of the major cities, Phoenix is 89th in the least Bible-minded cities. Phoenix is referred to as the Valley of the Sun. Though the sun may shine more often here than it does in most places in the U.S., spiritual darkness is a reality for far too much of this city.
We recently have been working with the church plant in Indianapolis, and that church has become a successful plant. They are currently purchasing property in a building. So Indianapolis, mission accomplished from our side, and so we head first to Seattle. And a pastor friend of mine was pastor of a thriving church in Northwest Arkansas and sensed God leading he and his wife to resign from his church and go and start one from scratch in downtown. And so they're about to actually constitute into a church. They don't have a whole lot of members. That is basically a college group that's going to there, but I'm sure they'd let somebody that's a little older than college join them. And then a brand new church start in Phoenix. This will be starting from scratch. The church planter there is a friend of Courtney, our student pastor. And so we're going to be working with them. Put that on your calendar if you'd like to take a trip out to Phoenix. Now, before we look at the end of the earth, let me throw this out for you too. We also give. Our church gives to support ministries in our state, our nation, and our world. Supporting church plants, supporting missionaries, supporting all kind of evangelism. And so we do that through our World Missions offering. We also give part of our budget to this. And last year we gave over $600,000 to support these ministries all over the place. So we want to give, yes, but don't just give and think that did it for you. We want to be able to go. We want to pray because we are wanting to execute the play that our Master Jesus Christ has given us. And so we've got Jerusalem, we've got Samaria, Judea, and now let's take a trip to the end of the earth.
This is our ends of the earth. The past 10 years, First Baptist Church of Forney has been reaching the people of Plzeň in the western area of Czech. In 2008, we planted a church and did English camps. The camps have grown from 69 to 250 in attendance. What is so exciting to see is that the people in Plzeň are now sending out people on mission for the Lord. Again, thank you, First Baptist Church of Forney, for being faithful in reaching Plzeň. Also, over the last 2 years, we have partnered with people in India to start a seminary and minister to the people there. In 2019, we will be partnering with our Hispanic church of Forney, Texas, to reach out to the people of Havana, Cuba, San Juan, Puerto Rico, and León, Mexico, where we know God will do the same thing that we saw in Czech. We ask that you pray on how God will use you and in partnering with First Baptist Church of Forney to reach the world.
A little over 10 years ago, we were asked by the International Mission Board to plant a church in Plzeň, Western Czech Republic. By the way, just a sidelight, the International Mission Board has just elected a new president. His name is Paul Chitwood, and he's a great guy. He is a close personal friend of mine. I've got friends in high places, baby. So we'll have him come and preach here at some point. At any rate, we said we would do that, and so there were four of us that got on a train in Prague and got off at the train station in Plzeň. We did not have a contact. We did not have a single person that we could speak with. And our goal was to begin the process of planting a church there. It's an incredible story. It's a big cathedral in downtown. We went up in the top of it, saw some steeples in the distance, decided we'd do like they did in the book of Acts, went to a place of prayer. Most of those were closed churches, but one of them was a Methodist church. It had a little bit of English on the wall. So we decided that we would worship there on Sunday, and in 3 days' time, with that beginning, we had discovered 7 or 8 local pastors of different denominations. There was not a Baptist church in the city. These pastors had lived through persecution, incredible testimonies, but after 3 days, we had our contacts, we had a strategic plan, and we began to implement that. And so today there is a functioning Baptist church in Plzeň. They are seeing people come to Christ, and they are in the process of planting another church in a neighboring town. So after 10 years, we're stepping off and moving into another direction. India is a trip for kind of like green berets. This last trip, they just got back and had to change locations due to some persecution that is breaking out. And so we're helping a seminary there establish their accreditation, and there's an incredible need there. And so we're going down to Mexico. Our Hispanic pastor, Eddie Lopez, and his group have 5 church plants going. We're going to step and help that. Costa Rica will be going as well. That is becoming a big emphasis in Southern Baptists, and we're one of 3 churches that are going to step into Costa Rica. And then Cuba. I just tell you, if you can go to Cuba, you need to go to Cuba because it will be a life changer. The people there are living on $30 a month. And they have really nothing. In my trip, I took some legal pads and pencils, and the lady that kept track of their church stuff literally began to weep because she got legal pads that she could use. There's a church that is about the size of our choir loft who has started 75 house churches. One of their church growth strategies is to get one of those old trucks. And they're old, they're 19, late 50s and early 60s is all they got. They'll drive down the highway picking up hitchhikers. They have an evangelist in the back of the truck. When they get a full load, they pull off to the side, and that evangelist preaches. And they have had churches born in the back of these trucks. The Spirit of God is doing incredible stuff. It's the book of Acts without anybody with money. So if you can get to Cuba, man, you really ought to try to make that happen. So we're going to extend our reach to the ends of the earth. Those are our plans for 2019. So we've done a little bit of explanation about missions, and now it's a celebration. And we do have some great things that we can celebrate for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now then, I want to step to a third piece, and that is an invitation to you to step into these missions. So we have Kurt one last time giving us an invitation.
Well, church family, you just heard the heart of our pastor. And his heart is with missions. And he's told us to go to our Jerusalem, to our Judea, and to our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, sharing Christ with people. And that's what he wants, and that's what he desires, and that's what we need to be all about. And so that's why I'm excited about Reach Missions 2019. We've got some great trips lined up for you guys to be a part of. And some of those are Seattle, Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, and then we have Houston, Texas, Leon, Mexico, and we have Puerto Rico and Havana, Cuba. Some great trips lined up. On December the 16th, in the office, in Building B, the administration office, in the conference room, we'll be having an informational meeting that will explain all that we'll be doing there. So please, come back to the missions desk, grab one of these brochures that has all that information, and while you're back here, grab a cup of coffee. We got some special coffees. We got cold brew and we got some fraps. And guys, I'm just so excited about what God is doing here at First Baptist Church Forney, and I want you to be a part of it.
Maybe you could accept a challenge to teach Kirk how to say Houston in this mission opportunity. Now, here's the deal. We can't get too comfortable. We can't get in the huddle and enjoy that so much that we neglect the assignment that God has given to us. And so that's what this invitation is about. Now, think about it for a moment. If a ball team stayed in the huddle and never got out, they would first get penalized for delay of game. And then if they stayed in the huddle again, they would get another penalty for delay of game. And they would keep retreating all the way back to their own goal line. And so I will tell you, if a church or if an individual stays in the huddle and never engages in the assignment that Jesus Christ has given us, all you're going to do is take steps backward, never forward. And so we'll break the huddle. We'll take the gospel as far and as wide as we can. We're on our way to heaven. And we want to take as many people with us as we possibly can. So I want to ask you to think about how you can leverage your life for the gospel. I know of one pastor in a college town. He challenged his college students. He said, when you graduate, you get your degree. Why not get a job in one of these cities where there are church plants and work there and invest in a church plant? That is a great idea. And so how could you leverage your business? How can you leverage your career? How can you leverage your involvement into gospel ministry, into fulfilling the assignment? Now, I will tell you that as we're approaching the holidays, it's a prime time for people to go to church. And about 85% of people join a church because either a friend, relative invited them. And so I would just ask you to be on notice to look for people who you could invite to come to church with you. Now, it's not really hard to do that. Here's how it works. Hey, would you like to go to church with me on Sunday? And they'll say, go fly a kite, turkey. No, they'll probably say, you know what? I'd like to do that. They're waiting for somebody to invite them. And so be on mission in just that way, especially during the holidays. Now, I want to kind of close this up with a quick story. I've shared this with you on occasion, but it's very applicable to today. I heard a preacher who was telling about his last couple of semesters in seminary, and he had one particular class that he had to finish to get his degree to graduate at that date. And so his friend said, don't get this certain professor because, man, he is bad. Well, it ended up that's the professor that he got. And he made a decision, I'm really going to show these guys, I'm going to nail this class. And so he did. He put everything he had into that class. He knew he had to pass it to graduate on time. And so the biggest piece of the class was a research paper. Man, he really went to work in that research paper. He put everything he had into it. He said it was the best work that he did in his whole seminary experience, turned it in on time, and then he got it back with a F. He failed. Failed the class, had to go an entire another semester to get his degree. Wasn't very happy with the professor. So he went to him and showed him his research paper, and he says, "I can't believe I failed this. What is wrong with this?" And the professor said, "You know what? That is one of the finest research papers that I have ever come across. The footnotes were perfect. The logic flowed very beautifully. It was an incredible paper." And the guy said, "Well, then why did I fail?" And the professor said, "Because you did the wrong assignment." Now, wouldn't it be really bad to stand before Jesus Christ and tell him, "I've built a successful business"? And he said, "But that's the wrong assignment." Or if you stood before him and said, "I had a great family," he said, "But that's great, but that really wasn't the assignment." What if we stood before him and said, "We built a really great buildings," but he said, "That's not the assignment. The assignment is to make disciples and to begin in your Jerusalem and your Judea and to your Samaria to the ends of the earth." So the invitation is to all of us, how can you break the huddle and connect your life to fulfilling this assignment given to us by Jesus Christ? If today you have never taken that first step to place your faith and trust in Him, I would invite you during this next song of praise to make your way to one of our staff and share with them that you would like to put Jesus Christ in your heart. And we'll go to a private place and it will be a great thing. If you're not a member of our church, I invite you to become a member today. If you'd make your way during this song to one of our staff, there are some who will say, "Well, you know, I don't have to be a member of a church and I can walk with God." Well, all I would tell you is you're probably not going to be fulfilling your assignment if you're not hooked up with a church. I doubt if you're going to be leading a lot of people to Christ. I doubt if you're going to be involved in Great Commission activities if you're not connected to a church. And if you did lead somebody to Christ, what are you going to do with them then? You need the church family. So all would be welcome. Please come today. Maybe today you would just want to come and kneel on the steps and pray and say, "God, I hear you. I want to somehow discover how I can make my life be leveraged for the Great Commission in some way, in some form or another." And so, let's break the huddle. Jesus Christ has called the play. And we're in the huddle and we understand the play. So, he says, "Ready? Break." And as we go, we'll make disciples. Let's stand together and worship. The altar is open for you to give your life to Christ, to join our church, to come and just say yes to whatever the Lord has for you in hooking your life up by fulfilling His assignment. As we worship, I invite you to come.